Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with George Gilder. He is a leading visionary on all things related to Bitcoin and technology and telecommunications. George, thanks for talking to us.
Well, great to be here.
Okay, we're going to talk about your newest work, The 21st Century Case for Gold, a new information theory of money. But first, I want to talk with you about net neutrality. The FCC has gone ahead. They passed their net neutrality rules. They've already started implementing some of them and fining various companies. Are you worried that this is going to become a big stumbling block to innovation online, or do you think that we'll just work around it?
I think it'll be reversed. Mm-hmm.
In the courts.
Well, you know, it's such an egregious power grab. I mean, imagine Title II transforming the internet into a public utility, neutralizing the internet, making a UNICnet, as I call it. It's, you know, everything on the internet is unneutral. I mean, you have SLAs, service level agreements, you have content delivery networks accelerating stuff for money everywhere, you have all sorts of special channels, you have Skype, you have email. Everything's different, everything needs different treatment, and everything's changing minute by minute. And the idea of establishing a level playing field as if all bandwidth was homogeneous is just ludicrous. So it's completely based on fantasy, so it can't really stand as far as I can see.
So is it partly, though, that net neutrality, weirdly, because, you know, one of the mantras of the internet is that it was this great leveling force where suddenly, you know, NBC or a giant corporation, you know, no longer had as much power and things have been leveled. And now in a weird way, because you're right, behind the internet, everybody has different advantages. I mean, is that where it came from? Where did the political will and the public will, you know, come for something like net neutrality?
It's just the appetite of bureaucracies to expand their regime. And the FCC saw the possibility in the waning years of the Obama administration to assume power over the internet, full of various assurances that they would forbear. They wouldn't do all the things that a Title II internet based on 1934 railroad regulations would actually allow them. But at the same time, they invite class action suits and protests and explicitly mobilize the K Street law firms and lobbyists to sue, which means that the whole internet will become more litigious and more perilous for enterprise, and the horizons of the economy will shrink.
Do you think, is the FCC kind of like the March of Dimes when polio was cured? They no longer have a reason to exist, and so they're coming up with a new justification.
Yeah, that's right. And they really don't have any reason to exist. The whole idea that spectrum is like beachfront property is just nonsense. Spectrum is created by technology, and it doesn't exist really without the technologies that have been invented to use it. And so the whole idea that spectrum's out there and it's a public resource that has to be managed by government is itself delusional. So they're in a bad situation, but the internet is on the verge of creating a layer 8 at last.
Layer 8, explain that.
Well, the internet has seven layers, deriving from Claude Shannon and the OSI model, with the bottom layer, the physical layer of all actual physical technology, then the data link and network and transport and session and presentation, and then apps at the top. But all these layers don't give you any way to actually conduct trusted transactions, no way to establish facts, no way to timestamp events, no way to produce irreversible contracts. So we need now a layer 8 on the internet.
Right. This is Bitcoin for
you. It's the Bitcoin blockchain. Yeah. Should be layer 8 on the internet.
Talk about that in the 21st Century Case for Gold, a new information theory of money. Essentially, you're arguing that Bitcoin is gold.
Yeah, Bitcoin is gold for the internet.
So what does that mean?
Well, when I started studying gold, I was trying to figure out why gold was such a fabulous monetary element over the centuries. And a lot of people tell you that it's because gold is shiny, gold is portable, gold is really jewelry. And I was talking to a friend, Richard Vigilante, and he said, no, the reason gold is valuable is not because it's jewelry. The reason jewelry is valuable is because it's really money. And the reason it's money is because it cancels out all the economics of its production, the advance of mining gear, the improvement in exploration equipment, all is canceled out by the fact that gold gets more difficult to extract, the deeper the loads are, the more thin the distribution. And so just by happenstance through history, gold has nullified technology and economics and become a pure index of the time it takes to extract it. Mm-hmm. And time is really the foundation of all measurement. If you go through all the physical measurements like kilograms mm-hmm. and meters and seconds and lumens and amperes and moles and whatever, all of them are ultimately based on various frequencies, which are constant of Hertzian frequencies, and ultimately based on time.
So you're saying that I don't weigh too much, I just haven't lived long enough, something like that?
Okay. Time is the foundation of money as a measuring stick. And Satoshi, in shaping Bitcoin, explicitly nullifies technology. Mm-hmm. He wants to cancel out Moore's Law above all, because that would make Bitcoin merely a function of advances in the computer right. industry, which would make it
And you're talking about the named creator of Bitcoin,
that's
who
right.
said, we're going to meter out a set amount of Bitcoin over time, no. and then that would be it.
That's right. And it's 10 minutes per block, and that's rigorously incorporated in the algorithm that begins with the Genesis block in 2009 contained in hashes of mathematical fingerprint today in the latest block.
So then talk about Bitcoin is the gold standard, it creates an inescapable gold standard on the internet.
Yeah.
And what are the implications of that for the kind of level 8 moment that
you're
talking
about? Well, you have a level 8 transactions layer that provide objective valuation rooted in the source of all measurement, which is time. Time is, money is really time. Time is has to be spent. Time can't be manipulated, stolen, hoarded. It's distributed equally to rich and poor. It's the pure mm-hmm. measure the universe offers. And it's the source of all value in money. And we see the interest is supposedly the time value of money. It's really the money value of time mm-hmm. is what it is. And time is the monetary element, and it's what unifies gold with its happenstantial cancellation of technological progress with Bitcoin, with its explicit algorithmic cancellation of technology.
So then, talk about the information theory of money. How is this playing into
the information theory was developed by Claude Shannon in 1948, mm-hmm. essentially, and it identified information as unexpected bits, mm-hmm. as surprise, essentially, And this allowed him to separate the meaning from the actual flow of information, and he inventing the bit and the byte. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he made possible the whole computer age and the internet society. But because his measure of information had no valuation in it, no transactional layer, no source of meaning or measurement. The internet kind of fills up with junk. Mm-hmm. And we have all these pop-up ads, and everything is free, which means it's really a lie because nothing is fully free. So there's the absence of micropayments has, under the existing information theory regime on the internet, has debauched the internet. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the development of a transactions layer offering seamless, hassle-free transactions across the internet can allow content producers, or for example, to collect their own payments, mm-hmm. Thus taking the power of payments away from the aggregators who aggregate and then advertise. And it's these aren't really ads from my point of view. They're minuses, you know, mm-hmm. they're value subtracted advertising.
And that's because they take time away from
that's right.
the consumer. Here, let me ask you this. So that, I mean, so basically what you're saying is Bitcoin enables micropayments. That means that you can pay to speed up your time, kind of, or like mm-hmm. to avoid, you know, costs on your time. What is the role, and nobody is a bigger, you know, ideological capitalist than you or understands the role of the middleman, the role of the aggregator in this kind of system? Because it's not simply that a major corporation is extracting, you know, by its role as an aggregator is acting as a gatekeeper. They also add information, right? Yeah. I mean, it's easier for a record label. They go out and they find all the artists that I might like and then pitch them to me. What
happens
to that?
There'll be all kinds of aggregation and mm-hmm. all sorts of value-added advertising. You're mm-hmm. talking about value-added advertising and marketing processes mm-hmm. that actually deliver what you want when you want it. Mm-hmm. And Google, as a matter of fact, is in its search engine advertising, is actually delivering value-added advertising all the time. And its YouTube model, however, is deeply value subtracted. You never want to see an ad at the beginning of your YouTube video. So Google is really divided. Mm-hmm. And until it understands that it has to figure out a value added advertising model for YouTube, essentially with the arrival of Bitcoin, the content producers on YouTube will start launching smaller aggregators that actually focus on the markets they seek and don't impair the experience with some pop-up jerk-in-the-box or adhesive.
Right. Well, we will leave it there. We've been talking with George Gilder. His latest work is The 21st Century Case for Gold, A New Information Theory of Money. It's out from the American Principles Project. George, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.